Today, the Pentagon will soon release a major declassified report on all the secret intelligence the US has been gathering on UFOs for the past 14 years. So what's the truth? In December 2020, just before Donald Trump left the White House, the Pentagon was given 6 months to release all of the evidence that had been gathered from government investigations into UFOs. The report will be released next week. And it turns out that the US is not alone. Governments have had programs like this on and off for decades, including in the UK, where Nick Pope worked on this very subject at the Ministry of Defence.
For much of the early 90s at the Ministry of Defence, my job was to research and investigate the UFO phenomenon to assess the implications in terms of defence. So simply put, if there was something in our airspace, we needed to know what it was and what it was up to.
Was it glamorous?
It wasn't quite X-Files glamorous. It's not like we were rushing around with guns drawn and trying to take down some deep state conspiracy, but it did have its moments.
I want to know what these moments were. Were you in a secret bunker underground?
It was more the moment of coming to the realization that, hey, that might have been just a little bit more than just aircraft lights and weather balloons. But when you had, as we did from time to time, our own personnel reporting these things, pilots, when you had corroborative evidence in terms of radar, really good photos and videos, you got that little buzz. And it was, you know, maybe, just maybe.
Oh, we're going to get into that. Just before we do, how was your work perceived by your colleagues within the organization?
I think it was a real mixture. Some people were like, my goodness, what a waste of time and money it is. We're even looking at that. And sometimes I would literally be walking down the corridor in Ministry of Defense main building, and I would suddenly hear someone whistle the theme tune to Close Encounters of the Third Kind or The Twilight Zone, something like that. And people would say, there he goes, Nick Spooky Pope.
Out of all of the hundreds of interviews I've carried out for Today in Focus, none have excited me quite as much as speaking to Nick Spooky Pope. Here is a guy who genuinely, and I mean genuinely, we checked him out, worked inside the Ministry of Defence investigating UFOs. And now, 30 years later, he's allowed to talk to us about his work and explain how it was that he came to this conclusion. What do you think? What were you left thinking by this job?
I did it for 3 years, and I came away thinking, maybe, just maybe. And I didn't rule out the extraterrestrial hypothesis. Of all the different hypotheses we considered, I mean, it was certainly the most interesting and, frankly, the most fun. I mean, aliens would be, you know, just the most profound thing in terms of fundamentally affecting almost every aspect of human society. We would have answered one of the biggest and most profound questions that we ask ourselves. Are we alone in the universe?
From The Guardian, I'm Anushka Astana. Today in Focus, could some of the thousands of sightings of UFOs actually provide evidence of extraterrestrial life? Adam Gabbett, we've just heard from Nick Pope, who you put us in touch with. Thank you. And we're going to come back to him. But first, the reason you've been writing about this is because next week, members of the House Intelligence Committee in the US are going to receive an unclassified report from the Pentagon on the question of UFOs, a subject that has been ridiculed by many for years. But some think this report will show that the US government takes this more seriously than we might think. And let's be honest, It is a subject that gets us all. So first, can you take me back in time? Where does this story start?
Well, it goes all the way back to 1947 in New Mexico near Roswell, which is a name probably familiar to anyone who casually follows UFOs. So in 1947, a rancher called Mac Brazel found something on his land. He was driving about, minding his own business. He sees something. It's got apparently lightweight fabric, rubber strips, tin foil, sticks sticking out of it. And he had no idea what it was. So he takes it to the sheriff of Roswell. Sheriff has no idea. It ends up getting passed up the command and ends up with the military. So then an intelligence officer, Major Jesse Marcel, travels to New Mexico to have a look at this thing. He picks it up. And while he's in Roswell, trying to find out what it is, he gives an interview to a local newspaper and he tells them it's a flying saucer. So, of course, the newspaper is like, yippee, you know, so they run with that front page flying saucer found.
In the next 24 hours, virtually every newspaper in the country ran the story. Within a few months of the original saucer report, practically everyone in America was conscious of flying saucer.
But the problem was, it wasn't a flying saucer.
How do you know? What evidence do you have?
The evidence is the military the next day came out and said, actually, no, it's not a flying saucer, to the same newspaper. So that was a bit of a climb down. So what had happened was, this is like Cold War era stuff, right? So the US has a nuclear bomb. It thinks Russia has one. And it's part of a top... This thing they've found is basically a big balloon. It's part of a top secret project to monitor whether Russia is conducting nuclear tests. So Marcel told the newspaper it was a flying saucer to try and distract from this project. You know, they didn't want people getting wrapped up in hysteria. So the military didn't full out say, hey, this is to monitor Russia because they might bomb us. They said it was a weather balloon. Anyway, they retracted it. They said it's not a flying saucer, but it didn't matter.
Because certain publications persisted in using a sensational approach in reporting sightings, there were increasing demands from the public for an explanation.
No, it was out there by then. So all of a sudden, everyone's seeing flying saucers.
Precipitated an avalanche of sightings from cities, towns, villages, from every section of the country.
And in the last 6 months of 1947 alone, there's 300 reports of UFOs, having come up from, you know, barely any reports. So everyone was gripped in 1947.
And the craze that you're talking about was a craze because it kind of opened the door to an idea that's quite appealing, this idea that there might be extraterrestrial life. And that entered the public imagination in a big way. And as you say, there was a growing community dedicated to this very subject. What do you think it is about this that grabs the public's attention so much?
Well, it comes down to fundamental questions of who we are, doesn't it? And it's something that transcends questions of religion, identity, philosophy. Are we alone in the world? No, I think up till probably this happened, most people were merrily going about the business. Yep, humans are the only source of life. Here we are on this planet. Nothing else going on. And to then find out that, hey, there might be something else out there, it's no surprise that it gripped people. And Roswell, to this day, makes a fortune off this stuff.
Welcome inside the International UFO Museum and Research Center, where a life-size flying saucer is venting steam.
If you go to Roswell, you can get an alien-named hamburger. There's a museum there, which isn't really a museum.
Shops hawking alien trinkets line the streets outside the museum. Even the McDonald's here is in the shape of a spaceship.
Sounds like you've been.
I have been.
You have?
Yeah, and not even for work. This was... I was in the area and I couldn't resist.
Yeah, I believe that we came from the sky and, you know, we're here to gather information.
And you mentioned that Roswell wasn't a flying saucer, but there were sightings that year that people did take quite seriously. Among the others was Kenneth Arnold.
Over Mineral, Washington, he observed a formation of very bright objects to the north. He radioed ahead that they appeared to be close to the mountaintops and traveling at tremendous speed.
There was a Navy seaman called Harold Dahl, and as you say, hundreds of other sightings. And we don't know that none of them were real. How did the government respond to it?
Yeah, as you say, I mean, some of these sightings, it just wasn't a balloon. They were moving too fast. Sometimes there were several of them. And, you know, the US government, the military was concerned too. So the US Air Force set up Project Blue Book.
Headquarters, United States Air Forces issued a directive for a detailed study of flying disc reports.
Which was a code name for a study of UFOs. And its purpose was actually to explain or debunk these sightings, to kind of calm down the public. Again, Cold War era, people getting very scared. So the government thought that people needed to be soothed.
Ruppelt's department was designated as Air Phenomenon Branch, Air Technical Intelligence. At Ruppelt's disposal was a large staff of distinguished scientists, both military and civilian.
And the problem was that they were getting these sightings and they couldn't explain a lot of them.
I am here to discuss the so-called flying saucers.
They collected thousands of reports, and hundreds of them, to this day, are unexplained.
Our basic difficulty in dealing with these is that there is no measurement of them that makes it possible for us to put them in any pattern that would be profitable for a deliberate, custom sort of analysis to take the next step.
Project Blue Book was eventually shut down after nearly two decades, but the government kept on investigating these things in secret, behind the scenes, and still struggling to explain what these things are.
But it's not like they talked about it publicly very much. UFOs were largely limited to popular culture rather than political press releases. But then in 2017, we suddenly found out that this very much had been the business of government in America. When we found out about the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, the AATIP. What did we find out about it and how?
What we discovered in 2017 was that the US government had been running a secret project for 10 years to track reports of these UFO sightings and try and figure out what was going on.
Well, for more than a year, the public has heard about the secret study initiated by Senator Harry Reid and other lawmakers. The study continued for years, but whatever files or reports it created, very little of that material has been made public.
Senator Harry Reid, former senator now, he is a real UFO enthusiast.
In my opinion, this is something that we should be studying. And as I said, it's a worldwide phenomenon, not just here in the United States.
One of the few who was not embarrassed to talk about this, he was instrumental in setting that up.
And how much money did they put into this?
Oh, well, hardly anything. roughly $22 million, which...
In US government funding terms, not very big.
In US government funding terms, like tiny. I mean, the US military has an annual budget of almost $700 billion.
I looked up some numbers to see if I could put it in perspective. And, you know, the government here spent $500 million on potholes earlier this year. Although, to be fair, potholes may pose a more immediate threat than aliens at this moment in time. But doesn't that suggest to some extent that while Harry Reid may have been taking it very seriously, that the government wasn't really? Why were they doing it?
I mean, there is clearly, at least among a small group of politicians, real concern about this. I mean, if things are coming into US airspace and bobbing about fast as you like and that no one knows what they are, I mean, that is a potential problem, whatever it might be. And also they were getting enough reports at this point, credible reports, to investigate.
My ears pricked up at credible reports. Can you tell me what sightings there have been?
Well, there's been plenty. And they've been captured on video.
There's a whole fleet of them. Look on the ASA. Oh my gosh. They're all going against the wind. The wind's 120 knots to the west.
It emerged that Navy pilots, not just some random person on the ground, Navy pilots had been witnessing UFOs. And again, we're not saying aliens, but things they can't explain. They moved in mysterious ways, and they were seeing these all the time.
That's not our LNS, though, is it? It's not.
I do have it on us, dude.
Well, if there's like anything, it's rotating.
So one, there's a video of this. It looks like a spinning top, and it's high in the sky, and it can go at incredible speeds, and it rotates at some point. So several pilots reported seeing this thing. There was another one that people said was looked like a tic-tac.
Tic-tac.
Yeah, but much bigger.
Like a little white mint.
A little white mint, in shape at least. I don't know what colour it was because the video is black and white.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Several different pilots are reporting seeing these different things going through the sky at these massive speeds, and they can also perform turns and manoeuvres in a way that nothing the US military has with all its money. And they weren't seeing this like, you know, once a month, once a year. They were seeing at least the spinning top. They've seen it almost every day for 9 months across 2014 and 2015. I mean, it was just there.
Oh, my goodness. And what is it that makes people think these things might be aliens?
Well, I think it's mostly because there isn't a credible explanation for what they are. The government reportedly has some fears that perhaps China or Russia has managed to create a hypersonic craft. I mean, that seems a little far-fetched if the US is nowhere near it with all the US's military might. So there is no explanation. No one knows what these things are.
When this programme finished, which was in 2017, its director, Luis Elizondo, did talk out, didn't he? What has he had to say?
Well, I mean, he was quite honest.
We have identified some very, very interesting anomalous type of aircraft. Let's call them aircraft.
He talked about the no obvious propulsion mechanisms and the strange movement.
Things that don't have any obvious flight surfaces, any obvious forms of propulsion. Again, seemingly in defying the laws of aerodynamics.
I mean, he basically said we don't know what they are. He was asked if he believes life from elsewhere was observed. And he said the answer is yes.
I can't speak on behalf of the government. Obviously, I'm not in the U.S. government anymore. My personal belief is that there is very compelling evidence that we may not be alone, whatever that means.
Working inside the US Department of Defense, heading up a program investigating UFOs, was clearly quite persuasive for Luis Elizondo. So what impact did it have on Nick Pope when he found himself heading up a similar program in the UK's Ministry of Defense in the early 90s? So take me into this job. You're a UFO hunter and you get sightings, and some of them are videos. We've all seen the videos. They seem to be, I think it's fair to say, universally low spec, grainy, often no audio, always shot from a distance with a little ball in the middle, which I have to say, to my eye, you can't tell what's going on. What do you do when you receive a video like that?
You send it to the techies, and the techies can work wonders. I mean, there's a whole discipline called MASINT, which is Measurement and Signature Intelligence. So a lot of deep specialists in the military intelligence community can take, you know, your grainy-looking videos and can work wonders with them and start telling all sorts of things about engines and propulsion systems.
Okay, where these things were identifiable, what type of things did they tend to be?
Aircraft lights, weather balloons, satellites, meteors, Chinese lanterns.
Lanterns?
Yeah, absolutely.
And how many could you explain away like that?
It's roughly speaking 80% explainable with high degree of probability, 15% insufficient data to make a firm assessment, and 5% unknown. Now, of course, very important to say, unknown, unidentified does not automatically equate to extraterrestrial spacecraft decloaking or, you know, something like that.
But it might.
It might. And seriously, we do not rule out that possibility. And I say we at the Ministry of Defense when I was doing this. And even now, the United States government and this report to Congress from Director of National Intelligence.
Okay, but that isn't the only option. What other options felt plausible to you when you were doing this?
Well, I think there were three main theories. The first, that it was our own technology, and that when I was doing this job for the Ministry of Defense, some other part of the organization, again, highly classified, deeply compartmentalized, everyone working in silos, left hand, right hand, you know, that somebody, that this was some cutting edge prototype aircraft or drone. The second theory is that it was a foreign adversary. And the third was the extraterrestrial hypothesis. Now, I suppose there are all sorts of other things. We did briefly flirt with the idea of exotic atmospheric plasma phenomena, but then you get into the...
Sorry, can you explain that again? Exotic what?
Exotic atmospheric plasma phenomena. I mean,
what
scientists...
is that?
Well, scientists and meteorologists think that there might be all sorts of strange things in the upper atmosphere and might explain some of these UFOs. But that's another point. And I think it was always important to bear in mind, we were unlikely to find a single neat solution to the UFO mystery. I don't think there's going to be a sort of definitive parting of the curtain and ta-da, there it is.
Is there any chance that they are hoaxes or tricks of light?
I think it's minimal. I think it's I don't entirely rule it out. Some combination of the pilots misperceiving something. But I mean, I think the problem with that theory is that then at the same time, you would need the radar to have some sort of glitch and the forward-looking infrared cameras to have some sort of anomaly or you know, video artifact. So an awful lot of things would need to go wrong at the same time, which is stretching it a little. But I can't rule it out.
Are there not technologies that can tell when something has entered the world's atmosphere and could tell you definitively if these are from another country or from outer space?
Well, I think we're getting into difficult areas here because of classification. But yes, we have obviously things like the space tracking radars at the Ballistic Missile Early Warning Center at RAF Fylingdales in Yorkshire. NASA and the Department of Defense have various space surveillance networks, again, using a combination of technologies. So yeah, absolutely. And these are the technologies that I hope will lead to us solving the mystery.
You mentioned the idea of foreign adversaries, and obviously a lot of people question if these are Chinese or Russian technology, high-tech drones, for example. But that is often discounted. Why?
I think one reason is that people like to think that through intelligence, they have a very good idea of where the upper ceiling of Russian and Chinese technology is. And generally speaking, they do. So I'm sure in all of this, the US intelligence community, when they were drawing up this report to Congress, said, okay, we need to evaluate the Russia and China theory. How fast are their fastest missiles? How maneuverable are their best drones? And there are data on that. But it's never 100%, because there's always the chance that there's some highly classified, deeply compartmentalized program tucked away somewhere that's made a quantum leap breakthrough that Western intelligence just hasn't spotted.
And if they are aliens, extraterrestrial life, whatever you call them, what does that actually mean? I mean, they're just there, flying around? Why don't they show themselves to us?
Well, it would probably mean that they're doing, on a much bigger and more technologically advanced scale, but they're doing what we're beginning to do, send out probes, explore, see what's out there.
They're researching us.
Maybe.
One thing I don't understand is if there are all these unidentified objects which could pose a threat, either because they are foreign technology or because they are to do with extraterrestrial life, why is it that the Ministry of Defence no longer does this work? And why is it that even the American programme that we've learned so much about from 2007 was only spending tiny amounts of money on this? Surely it's a huge potential threat.
It is. I think anything in our airspace is automatically a defence and national security issue. I mean, I think, you know, this line, why did the Ministry of Defence stop investigating? Well, some people say they didn't. And they may have pulled the plug on the public side of this. But I've heard from a number of well-placed sources that certainly the pilot sightings, the radar trackings of anomalous objects, those things are still being looked at.
Coming up, what is the US likely to reveal in its forthcoming Pentagon report? Adam, I've been listening to Nick Pope tell me about UFO research in the British government in the 1990s. And you told me about similar investigations in the US government from 2007 to 2017. But we're very much talking about all of this again in 2021. Tell me why.
Well, this all started in December of last year, 2020.
Well, thank you all very much. It's a very important day. I'll sign the single biggest economic relief package in American history, and I must say, or any other package, by the way.
When Donald Trump signed into law a $2.3 trillion coronavirus relief spending bill. So it doesn't seem too alien-focused, but bear with me. And snuck into that bill by some UFO enthusiasts among the politicians was a provision that intelligence agencies had to release an unclassified report containing everything they know about UFOs. And that report is coming out this month, which is why everyone's getting quite excited.
So do we know which politicians were pushing for it?
Well, Marco Rubio has kind of taken up the mantle.
You know, there's a stigma on Capitol Hill. I mean, some of my colleagues are very interested in this topic and some kind of, you know, giggle when you bring it up.
He's a senator from Florida, Republican, and he's one of them pushing for it. He's not saying, like, look, I think there's space aliens bombing about, but he talks about it in terms of a potential, you know, security threat.
I want us to have a process to analyze the data every time it comes in, that there be a place where this is cataloged and constantly analyzed until we get some answers.
And then another thing happened, didn't it, that got people even more interested?
It did indeed. So January, a month later, CIA releases a document cache, a document dump, if you like, of its findings, its sightings, its reports about UFO activity. Included in there were some specific reports about a mysterious explosion in Russia, unexplained. There was another credible sighting near Baku in Azerbaijan. It's been sort of snowballing since then.
And it's easy to try and see this as very fringe, even if it has managed to make its way into the stimulus package, because largely politicians, as you say, don't tend to push this issue very hard. But then recently, Barack Obama, the former president of the USA, waded into this, didn't he?
So Barack Obama discussed this on The Late Late Show with James Corden.
Reggie, do you have a question for our guest this evening?
Oh boy, you betcha.
And he was quite open about it. He said, yeah, I mean, you know, these records exist, and basically said we have no idea what they are.
What is true, and I'm actually being serious here, is that there's footage and records of objects in the skies that we don't know exactly what they are. We can't explain how they moved, their trajectory. They did not have an easily explainable pattern.
Nick, do you have any sense of what we can expect from this US report?
Well, there have already been leaks of what the headline findings are. And senior administration officials have already been briefed. And essentially speaking, the conclusions are no evidence that this is extraterrestrial, but neither has that possibility been eliminated. So in one sense, we're right back where we started. They have apparently largely eliminated, almost completely eliminated, the possibility that this is US Black Project technology. I guess there we were able to say what we have and what we haven't got. And that leaves the suspicion that some of this, not all, but some might be Russia or China. And that certainly is going to need more work. And hopefully this report will not be the end of the US government's look at this, but the beginning. It will be the springboard for a properly resourced, in-depth, serious research and investigation effort. The biggest impediment to any of this in the past was just the attitude problem. People, one mention of UFOs and people rolled their eyes and looked at the ceiling. That's not happening anymore, at least not in the military intelligence community.
You've totally convinced me. I'm not sure if you were trying to, but
well,
you have.
No, I mean, I don't think, none of us who've done this from within government say that there isn't something here. Obviously there is, but I think there are mixed views on what it is we're dealing with. And even within government, there are believers, there are skeptics, and a whole bunch of people somewhere in the middle.
And finally, Adam, I've got to ask you, what do you think? Are you persuaded from your reporting that aliens might exist?
I think alien life exists, whether it's, you know, the sort of thing, you know, I mentioned ET, whether it can come down and learn to communicate through the power of the finger, I'm not sure. But I'm
not sure on that one.
I mean, yeah, you know.
On the fence.
I'm on the fence. You know, I've seen a lot of movies, but I'm sure something's out there, right? I mean, the universe is massive. It's huge. And even if there's just some speck of bacteria somewhere in a cloud, that's alien life. I'm not sure I believe that we have been visited. But at the same time, I mean, like, what is in these things? What's going on? I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I've kind of talked myself into believing now.
I mean, you've left me wondering, what are they? I assume there was explanations, but it sounds like there are none.
No, we know a little, but it's the tip of the iceberg.
Adam Gabbett, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Adam Gabbett and Nick Pope. My thanks to both of them. They definitely got me. Now, do look up Adam's reporting on all of this and watch out for the Pentagon report due out next week. Now, I've kept shtum for a few days about the British Podcast Awards because apparently I was banging on about it too much. But it means that all those lovely tweets we got last week from people voting have trickled down a little. So I'm back with a big sell today. Today in Focus comes to you from an amazing team of producers, the best I've ever worked with. And they work so hard to bring this podcast out every day. If you enjoy what you hear, then please consider voting for us at the Listener's Choice Award. Go to britishpodcastawards.com/vote. Thank you for all your votes and messages so far through Twitter, email and reviews left wherever you listen to your podcast. We appreciate every one of them. And speaking of how lovely you all are, get this. If you heard our episodes on the post office scandal, I'm sure you will have been moved, as I was, by the shocking story of Janet Skinner. Since those episodes came out, she has been overwhelmed by supportive messages from across the world. And recently, one listener got in touch with her lawyer to offer Janet £1,000 so that she can travel to Australia, when the rules allow, to visit her sister. A huge thanks to whoever it was who got in touch. That is it for today. This episode was produced by Alex Atack. Sound design was by Axel Cacoutier. The executive producers are Phil Maynard and Archie Bland. We'll be back tomorrow.